On the way to the hospital, Cecilia contacted her hotel to reassure the front staff that the two young women and two children were the individuals she had authorized to register in her name. Another two bedrooms, on practically no notice, turned out to be no problem. Cecilia grinned to herself. She had been so wise to invest in a hotel here on Castle Rock, rather than depending on the hospitality of friends. When she got to the hospital, she was told that she had just missed George. She went upstairs and stood in the corridor outside special care, looking at the motionless form in the bed. He looked wretched. She wondered if she had looked as bad. He wasn't conscious, they told her. They were still struggling to control the pressure on his brain, and he was deeply sedated, except for weekly checks of neurological function. Cecilia blinked back tears, remembering herself in that drug-induced coma, wondering if Kevel were more conscious than they realized, and silently promised him she would return and get him out of there no matter what. She found it hard to leave, but she had something even more urgent to do. At the Laurels, she stopped at the concierge's desk to ask for assistance in leasing a yacht. The Laurels expected such requests. It took only a moment for the concierge to connect Cecilia to the booking agent for All Systems Leasing. Her inspiration had been her nephew Ronnie. Ronnie and Rafaela, as newlyweds, had taken off for the frontier to Exet 24, a world newly opened to colonization. Cecilia hoped it would have a more euphonious name before it qualified for full membership in the Familius. At last report, Ronnie and Rafa had no children yet, but were hoping. Cecilia wasn't sure who was hoping, the young people or their parents, but she remembered Rafa's problem-solving abilities and was sure that Rafa could find the boys a good home if she didn't want them herself. But this meant a long trip, 6 weeks at least. She discussed the route with the leasing agent and ordered the premium platinum package of consumables. She didn't mind doing Bunny's family this service, but she wanted fresh food again. On Miranda's advice, Cecilia hired three more nursemaids. One wanted to emigrate and was glad to accept a colony share in lieu of salary. She brought along her own children, a 2- and a 4-year-old. 5 people to care for 4 children might be overdoing it, but Cecilia didn't intend to wash a single diaper or wipe a single drippy nose. By midnight, Cecilia had arranged everything. She had discussed with the nursemaids what clothes would be needed for the voyage and for 6 months afterward. She didn't know how easy it would be to find children's clothes on a colony world. She set up credit lines so that purchases by the nursemaids would not be traceable to her or to Miranda. Then she fell into bed with a glow of conscious virtue. When the twins woke at 2 in the morning, she pulled a pillow over her head and went back to sleep. That part of it was someone else's problem. By the time they boosted from Rockhouse Major, Cecilia felt sure that no one had suspected anything. As far as anyone outside the palace knew, the twins were still there. Cecilia pored over their medical records in her stateroom and came to the same conclusion as the doctors and psychologists. Normal children, who could expect to have normal lives. The real question was, should she tell Rafaela and Ronnie who they really were? In her own mind, the boys should not know. That they were adopted, yes, but not that their fathers had raped their mother and kept her captive. Of course, they must have access to their medical records someday. Advances in therapy might make it possible to finish cleaning up their genome. She saw moral and emotional shoals in either direction. Exet Colony 24 looked from space like a paradise. Sapphire seas and emerald forests, tawny drylands and olive savannas, all spatched and streaked with white water vapor clouds. The colony spaceport, in contrast, was a dirty little dump in Cecilia's view. Her chartered yacht had its own shuttle, whose wide viewscreen gave a clear view of the mess. Discarded cargo containers lay scattered near either end of the runway. The single runway. The spaceport buildings were ugly piles, too much like the Patchcock port. The white plumes of cement factories, the lime kilns where limestone and shale were converted to cement for construction, lay gently on a background of rich green forest in the near distance. Customs consisted of a harried young woman whose only concern was whether the new arrivals had colony shares.
I don't need a colony share. I'm not staying. I'm just here to visit.
The young woman glared, took Cecilia's IDs, and inserted them in a machine. After a moment, she turned to give Cecilia a long look.
You're not staying?
I'm not staying, no. I'm here to visit my nephew and his wife, Ronald Van Dormer.
Ah, Ronnie, won't you say so?
I tried.
He's a doofus, but now you can go over.
She pointed out the office, a two-story cube of concrete. Like most colonies, this one had been given a head start by its investors. The spaceport town had a small grid of paved streets and a larger grid of graveled ones. The first 100 or so buildings had been put up of substantial materials, in this case, concrete blocks. Beyond that were rickety constructions that Cecilia could only call shacks, crudely built of raw timber. Cecilia noticed, as she walked along, the number of people who were carrying things by hand, the absence of hand trucks, let alone vehicles. The two-story building had a low wall enclosing a courtyard to one side, where a group of men were working on some piece of machinery she didn't understand. She started to speak up and ask them about Ronnie, when one of the faces in the group suddenly looked familiar.
Ronnie?
Cecilia blinked in the brilliant sunlight, and it still was, in face. The glossy young aristocrat, who had always been just one hair from a dandy, stood there in tan work shirt and pants, with smears of mud or grease on both. She couldn't even tell what color his boots had been. But it was Ronnie, as handsome as ever, or more so. Before she could call out, he turned and went inside. The men went back to doing something with machinery and wood. She followed him inside to a rough-walled room with a concrete floor and found him jotting something down on a desk comp.
Ronnie!
He looked up, then his eyes widened.
Aunt Cecilia!
I sent word!
We never got it. It's probably in the batch somewhere, but everyone's been too busy.
Ronnie looked out the window at the bustle in the courtyard. Cecilia eyed him. This was not a change she had ever expected to see in Ronnie. She wondered why he hadn't said anything about Bunny's death or asked about Brun.
It looks like a lot of work.
It is. It's not something I thought I'd ever be doing, to tell you the truth.
Who's your colony governor?
I am, now that Misktoff ran off.
Ran off?
Yes. It's easy enough. He stowed away on an outbound flight with most of our negotiable resources.
But that's criminal!
So it is. But I didn't see any police force around to stop him, and we don't have Ansible access down here. No money, no communications.
Oh. Perhaps he didn't know about Bunny's assassination. Cecilia took another look around the room. Not an office, exactly. She saw furniture she recognized from Rafa's mother's summer cottage. A dining room table covered with data cubes and books. A sofa piled with more books and sheets of plastic and paper that looked like construction drawings. Over everything, a layer of gritty gray dust and ash.
But we're doing well, considering. It's just, there's a lot I didn't know. Don't know yet. You know, Aunt Cecilia, no matter how many cubes you study, there's always something...
For instance?
Well, the cement plants are working all right, and we've got plenty of sand and gravel, so we're fine for unreinforced construction. But my cube said unreinforced concrete is dangerous.
What does your colony engineering team say?
Engineering team? We haven't one. I know the prospectus says we do, but we don't. Aunt Ceci, 90% of our population are low-level workers, which makes sense. But these people are low-level workers in a high-level system. They're used to a more advanced infrastructure. They know how to do their work in a world where everything's already set up, not how to work from scratch. The farmers know how to grow crops and big fields, but they don't know how to level them. The plumbers know how to connect pipes in standard modular buildings, but they don't know how to set up a plumbing system from scratch. That's what the engineering team is supposed to do, make the connection between standard designs and standard practices, and the conditions we have locally, but we don't have one.
If it's that bad, why don't you leave?
We don't want to leave, Aunt Cecilia. We want to make it work. We sank all our money in it, even the wedding presents.
Even your reserves?
Well, not at first, but when Mishktov ran off, we had to do something. We could have bought ourselves out and run home like silly children, but the colony needed help. So we blew the last on enough to keep the rest alive while we worked it out.
This was a very different Ronnie from the spoiled boy she'd known. Not a hint of petulance. He'd been dumped into trouble, and he was going to handle it. How's Rafa?
She's fine. Tired, though. She's trying to get a school started, but it's hard. The parents say they're too busy. They need the children at home.
Don't these colony groups include trained teachers?
On paper, yes. There's a lot I didn't know in the old days. I thought every standard colony dropped with prefab housing. The 5-year contract engineering team, the education and medical backups that are on the contract.
And they don't?
No. At least, right before Mishktov ran off, while we still had the credit for it, I made some inquiries and found that many colonies are shorted. But they're stuck on some planet, mostly uneducated people who haven't a clue who to contact in the colonial office. No one ever knows. Even me. I sent messages out, but never got any back. We haven't heard from our families in over a year, though we've scraped up enough to piggyback messages to them 3 times.
Well, Ronnie, I may have added to your burdens, but...
Rafa came through the door like a burst of spring breeze.
Cecilia, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, the only bad thing about this is that I miss my friend sometimes.
The girl, no, young woman, looked healthy enough and genuinely glad to see her. Cecilia braced herself for what she must do.
Rafaela, Ronnie, have you heard about Bunny?
Bunny? No. What's wrong?
He was assassinated several months ago, supposedly by allies of the men executed after Brun's capture.
Wait, Brun was captured? By whom? Is she all right?
Cecilia could hardly believe they didn't know. She gave them a quick review of what had happened.
So you see, when I started thinking of a good home for the babies, I thought of you. I was sure you could find a home for them.
Brun's babies?
Now she'd done it. Yes.
Of course I want them. We do, don't we, Ron?
Of course. I don't exactly know how, but we'll manage.
I've brought along nursemaids, including one with 2 children of her own who wants to stay, and some money Miranda sent for their education later.
If it's enough to hire a teacher, we can start that school.
Cecilia had no idea if it was enough, but she would pry the necessary out of Rafa and Ronnie's parents if she had to. She would also, she thought, find out why incoming messages, including hers, weren't getting through.
Where are the babies?
Still in the shuttle. I doubt I'd ever have gotten them past that person in the terminal.
Oh, Ganna. She was Misktoff's girlfriend. And he left her here, marooned her. She thought she was going to be the governor's lady and lord it over everyone. But here she is, and she hates everybody.
Except handsome men. Lady Cecilia, you should see how she fawns on Ronnie. I know he's not susceptible, but it's a little disgusting sometimes.
It's handy when I want something. Come on, let's get those babies out of the shuttle. If I have babies crawling all over me, I'll bet Ganna finds me less attractive.
By the time she left again, Cecilia knew that more was wrong with Exet 24 than one scoundrelly governor and a missing engineering team. The nursemaids had been understandably wide-eyed at the conditions on the planet, and Cecilia had had some difficulty persuading them to stay until she returned.
I'll find out why messages aren't getting through, Ronnie, and find you some of the experts you need. You've done wonderfully.
She didn't really believe that, but the young couple had tried and weren't whining, and that counted for a lot in her private grade book.
It'll be a few months, you understand.
That's what they all say.
All the way to Cerealis, Miranda had planned what to do. If she tried to call on her family's expertise, Harless might find out and would certainly do his best to stop her. She had to assume he'd figure it out, She had to assume she had only a limited lead before he found some way of separating her from the data she needed to explore. Bunny had teased her at first when she insisted on having her own archives, separate from the family, in machines not physically connected to anything but a solar power supply.
Paranoia runs in the meager family line.
She pressed her lips together tightly, remembering that laugh and her scornful reply. She had been so young, so sure of herself.
And so right.
Not for nothing had her family been in information technology for centuries. She had insisted. Bunny had given in. Her personal and very complete archives lay not at the big house, though she kept a blind copy there as a decoy, but in a remote hunting lodge. Every hunting season, and in between, if they were in residence, she added another set of records, stripping the current logs. The staff at Cerealis met her with the sympathy and respect she'd expected. Harless might have local spies and supporters, but they wouldn't show themselves yet. She spent the first few days, as anyone would expect, taking sympathy calls and answering what questions she could about the future of their world. That first evening, alone in the big room she had once shared, her mind wandered back to Cecilia's visit.
Where did she take the twins? She seemed to know exactly where she was going. Well, that's Cecilia, and always has been, although it usually involves a horse.
But before the twins, she'd said something about Bunny's killers, about some plot. Miranda struggled to remember, past the confusion of the last weeks, the urgency of her concern about the estate, and the travel-induced headache. Finally, she shrugged and gave up for the night.